Okay, so the next person we're closing up is
Chris Rogers from Auburn University.
Right. Okay, so today I'm going to talk about okay, so yesterday we did sort of a fair amount on these things, and spent most of the time looking at complete graphs. So today I want to do a couple of things, and partly to show you that you can look at other graphs other than complete graphs. You can look at complete multipartite graphs or even subgraphs of those kinds of things. But to avoid lots of difficulties and so on, I'm going to probably spend, I guess, the first two-thirds of the time on bipartite graphs, and then go back to complete graphs again for a little while to address one of the issues that we came across yesterday. But also to show you that there's a little more flexibility in what we know about the amalgamation technique as well, so I'll show you that as we go along. And one of the things I said to you yesterday is that we want to sort of find sort of interesting graphs to start with to allow the amalgamation technique to do all the rest of the work for you. So I'll give you a better idea of what I mean about that as well. Okay. But I also said you didn't need to remember anything from yesterday, so I'll therefore say some things here the second time, besides Moshe wasn't here yesterday, and so I have to keep him sort of up with what's happening today too. So I'll have a quiz with him on the tennis courts tomorrow. Okay, so we looked at this slide yesterday. It was something to do all sorts of different things that amalgamations have been useful for. I guess of all of these things here, these are the two that I'm going to talk about in addition to going back to something that I talked about yesterday as well. So we're going to look at these Hamilton decompositions of the complete graph minus a two-factor. I'll say something related to that, and these maximal sets of Hamilton cycles. We'll look at that as well. And in fact, we'll start with that. We'll start with the second thing first, right? Okay, so what's the problem? So this is some work I did with Darren. So if you've got any tricky questions, you can just ask Darren. Saad El-Zanahi, who's at Illinois State University. And the question is this. You're looking for M edge disjoint Hamilton cycles. Okay, so you could look at K factors. You could look at more general than just saying two factors. But for this whole thing, we'll just look at Hamilton cycles. And I'm looking at, in this case, in the complete bipartite graph. But I don't just want any old set of M edge disjoint Hamilton cycles. What I'd like to be the case is that that it's a maximal set. So by that I mean that if you look at the remaining edges, you can't find another Hamilton cycle. Okay. So for example, what you've got there wouldn't be good enough. Or what I've got here, this wouldn't be good enough. Because if you look at the remaining edges, there's still a Hamilton cycle in there. Okay, so for example, you could take these red edges that I put in there. And if you follow those red edges around, you get another Hamilton cycle. But now if you look at the complement of that, what's left is just these blue edges over here, and clearly they don't have a Hamilton cycle in there. Okay. So here is a set of two Hamilton cycles in K33, which is a maximal set. And what I'm interested in is what numbers you can get. So, for example, you can find a set of two Hamilton cycles, so which is a maximal set. You can also find three, because you can get a Hamilton decomposition of this graph. But if you only had one Hamilton cycle, that couldn't be a maximal set. And there's always going to be another one remaining there somewhere. So in this case, the possible values of M, if I move this down, M is just the number of edge disjoint Hamilton cycles we've got there, N could be 2 or 3. There we go. Okay, so actually this is sort of sits in the middle of a whole lot of similar kinds of questions that people have looked at. So looking at these maximal sets of something or others, edge disjoint something or others. Okay, so for example, Rees and Wallace looked at taking a whole bunch of edge disjoint one factors in such a way that when you look at the remaining edges, no one factors remain. Okay, just how big could that set of one factors be? Alex Rosa came down to Auburn one time, and we worked on this kind of problem where you looked at the same kind of thing for two factors. So I had to mention this one because for some reason Herb had this paper yesterday. He came and showed this thing to me and asked me something about it. So now I have to say something about that one. if you're just looking at two factors, then this results really easy in the case where n is odd, because if n is odd, then every vertex has even degree. And if all the vertices have even degree, then you keep on taking out two factors. What's left, everything still has even degree, and so by Petersen's theorem, there's still a two-factor there. So therefore, the only maximal set is to take everything. Okay, so that's that. And I suppose in the case where n is even, now every vertex has odd degree. So now what happens? If you take out some two factors, then the graph that's left, every vertex still has odd degree. Okay, now does that have a two-factor in it? Well, let's see. If it has any kind of factor in it whatsoever, it'll have a two-factor. Okay, because if you look at this thing, it's a regular graph of odd degree, and if you can find any factor whatsoever, if it has even degree, then it's got a two-factor in it by Petersen's theorem. And if it has odd degree, then what's left has even degree. And so it has a two-factor in it. So looking at that problem was actually looking at graphs which have no factors, regular graphs which have no factors whatsoever. No factors whatsoever. Okay, and then we also looked at the situation where you require the two factors to be connected. In other words, they're Hamilton cycles. So that's going to be a companion to this result. Well, I guess this one's companion to that, since this one came first. And again, this one was proved using amalgamations, but it's a little more complicated than what you get in the bipartite set. And there have been other things here as well, where Rees and Rosa and Wallace said, well, instead of these two factors being Hamilton cycles, maybe every two factor should each component in each two factor should be a K3, which is something like you were talking about this morning, I guess. So there's all sorts of things that have been done in this direction. Okay, so you've got this bound here that says that M has to be greater than N over 4, and not too hard to see that if G is connected and spanning and N over 2 regular, for example, then it has to have a Hamilton cycle. So there's no way that you could do this. I mean, the point is, if you've got lots of edges left over, then there's a Hamilton cycle in there somewhere. So there's fortunately in this case, a reasonably immediate lower bound. Peter Horak was looking at this kind of problem and was doing the same kind of thing where each two-factor consists of a bunch of 4 cycles, right? And in that case, the lower bound isn't quite so immediate. But so you worked on the harder problems. Okay. Right. So now I'm going to show you how you prove this result, and we're going to do it using amalgamations. So let me just remind you of what's going on here. So the setting's a little bit different, so I'll go through this again, because now we have bipartite graphs instead of complete graphs. Okay. So the idea here is that this is sort of what we're aiming for, and that's what I'm going to start with. Okay, but for the moment, until you get the idea, it's best to go the other way around. Okay, start with something which is what you're aiming up and what you end up with, and see what happens when you start doing this amalgamation technique. So just to remind you again, the idea is that in this graph here, you take a partition of the vertices, okay, and the vertices all get squashed together and the edges just follow the vertex as the vertices merge. So all of these vertices become a single vertex here, these ones here become a single vertex there, and so on. Why do we have 3 red edges there? Because joining vertices in here to vertices in here, we have that one, and that one. There are 3 red edges.
Chris, okay.
Yes?
For bipartite, you insist that the part is always wider than the same part.
Okay, so there are all sorts of things which would allow the technique to be even more powerful. Okay, one of them would be if we could get around the pulling apart where some of the vertices come from different parts. If you could stick them together, you'd save yourself a whole lot of trouble in what you're looking for here. Okay, so at the moment, I can't say anything very general about how you're going to do the pulling apart again if you've got vertices coming from different parts. Okay, so in any application I've got at this point, it's always been the case that the vertices have been stuck together from the same part. Okay. There's no reason why you have to do that by any means. No, there isn't at all. It's just that at the moment that's a limitation in the technique, in what we know about the technique.
You get loops.
Right. That's right. Absolutely.
So loops, that means you know.
That's right. That's right. It's by no means hopeless. I mean, there's definitely a possibility of doing something with that. And when you try and generalize what I'm doing here now to complete multipartite graphs, it would really save you a lot of time. Because at the moment we're having trouble coming up with this kind of thing if you're restricted to collapsing vertices from the same part when you form the amalgamation. but it would make this part much easier if the technique would fall apart. I mean, that's really how this whole thing goes. The more you know about the technique, the less trouble you have getting the place to start from. Okay, but the less you know about the technique, the harder you have to work with the initial graph in order to allow the amalgamation technique to pull it up from there on. Yeah. Okay. So that's certainly a good point that we're in this case and in every case I know of at this point, we've always collapsed vertices from the same part together in forming this amalgamation. Okay. So then you have these numbers here, which remind you just how many vertices got stuck together in forming this. So in this case, each of these vertices has three original vertices hiding inside there. And now we can get a whole lot of properties that this ought to satisfy. And you know, the game you play is, you know what you started with, you put this down here, you write down enough properties that this satisfies so that you can then show that any graph satisfying these properties comes from something of this sort. Okay. So, you know, that's sort of how this goes on. And so, here's a bunch of properties that this will satisfy. These will look pretty close to the sorts of things we looked at yesterday. You'll notice now, though, that this is not a complete bipartite graph. So, for example, between these two vertices there could be as many as 9 edges, right? But maybe there aren't 9 because it may not be complete. Okay? So we're quite happy to have some things left out in this problem that we're looking at. And in this particular case, there were only, I think, 8 edges. I think there are 5. Yeah, there's no edge going between these pair of vertices right there. Okay, so in general, though, there'll be at most f of aj times f of bk. I'm going to think of the a vertices as being on the left and the b vertices as being on the right throughout this. And so, sure enough, you know that this came from a bipartite graph with that many vertices on one side and this many vertices on the other. So this is the most number of edges you could possibly have. But maybe you've got less in this case. So that's a little different from yesterday. And if I'm thinking of this as coming from a Hamilton decomposition, of course each Hamilton cycle is just represented by the edges of one colour, okay, so the red edges form a Hamilton cycle, the green edges form a Hamilton cycle, and so on. Then each of these is next to 2 edges of each colour, and then when you collapse it, that means that in this case, each of these will be next to 6 edges of each colour, which of course are just 2 times the F value of that vertex. So that's the same as yesterday. And since I'm looking at the Hamilton cycles, this is very connected, and this, of course, this just says that originally this came from a KNN. I've got N vertices on the left-hand side and N vertices on the right-hand side. Okay. All right, so if you can find a good place to start here, hopefully if you start pulling these out one by one, these properties are enough to show you that in the end, when all the F values are 1, you end up with a bunch of Hamilton cycles, edges joined Hamilton cycles, which are a subgraph of KNN. Okay, so let's see here, here are these. That's easy just to check, just following from those properties. You can say, well, suppose you end up with, give me a graph that satisfies these properties, which has exactly 2 N vertices. The only way that can happen here, you know, is that the sum of these Fs is going to be N on each side. It means each of those F values would have to be 1. And if each of those F values is 1, then sure enough, you have at most 1 edge between each pair of vertices, so it's a simple graph, and of course it's bipartite, the way you've set it up. Each vertex is inside exactly 2 edges of each colour, and that colour class is connected, so it must be a Hamilton cycle, right? And so sure enough, we've written down enough conditions so that if you pull it apart to the point where each of the F values is 1, then you've got what you're after, except I haven't sort of talked about the maximality yet. So here's the limit there somewhere. So all that says so far is that the graph I've got is a subgraph of KNN and has a Hamilton decomposition. Okay. The other thing I'm interested in is that the complement should have no Hamilton cycle. And the easiest way to make sure that the complement has no Hamilton cycle is to make sure it's disconnected, like in the example I just gave you. And sure enough, in every case, that's what we do. Okay. So it says, you can say a little bit more, that in all of these lines, you find a set of M Hamilton cycles with the property that the complement in KNN is disconnected. Okay, so how do you do that? Well, So this goes back to this kind of question now. I guess I'll keep that up there. And I don't think we need this. This goes back to this kind of question that I was asking yesterday. So what question? When we looked at the amalgamations in the first place, it looked like a really silly kind of idea, but we looked at this kind of question. Just which are the interesting choices for G so that the whole technique works. Okay, so now I'm in the process of giving you one of those kinds of questions, one of those kinds of graphs. So here it is. And I've got a little example here, first of all, as we go along. I'm just going to start with four vertices, a bit like what's happening over here. Okay? I'm going to form a graph with four vertices, A1, A2 on the left, B1 and B2 on the right, and I'm going to do a whole bunch of things with it. I need that they satisfy, I've got to put all the edges in, right? So I've got to tell you what all of these things are, how many edges are going across here, and how many of each color, and so on. I have to do all that in such a way that all of these are satisfied. Clearly it has to satisfy that if it's going to come from a Hamilton decomposition of some subgraph to Kn. And I'm going to do a little bit more. I'm going to make sure that the number of edges joining A1 to B2 is exactly f of A1 times f of B2. And I'm going to make sure that the number of edges going from B1 to A2 is exactly the product of these oops here, went to the wrong spot. Okay, so this one here says that each of the f values has approximately half the total number of vertices you're interested in. And this one here says the number of edges joining A1 to B2 is just the product of those two numbers. Same thing for A2, B1. Okay, why do you do that? What's so good about that? Well, let's see. I mean, if you look at, for example, here, I've done that, I believe. Here's f of A1, and the number of orange edges going across here is 8, the number there is 9 green ones, the number of red ones will be 8. Okay, how many edges are that altogether? 16, 25, 25 edges. And that's exactly the f value of this times the f value of that. Right? Yep. So what's so good about that? Well, think about what's going to happen when you start pulling this apart now. These edges going across here are eventually just going to be joining the five vertices you have here to the five vertices you have there. Right? That's a K55. How many edges have I got there? All 25. All 25 edges are there. Same thing going across here. You'll have all 25 edges right there. So what does it look like in the complement? Well, there are no edges there and no edges there. So the only edges left are here and here, so it's disconnected. So it looks like that example I gave you in the first place with the blue edges. So this condition right here, if I can make sure that that's true, is the one that says, okay, this is a great graph to start with, because if the amalgamation falls apart, because of all of those properties over there, you'll end up with a graph which has a Hamilton decomposition, and because of this property right here, you'll end up with the complement in KNN being disconnected, and so therefore you'll have a maximal set. Okay. So all the hard work comes in just designing the original graph, and then the amalgamation thing takes over from there on. Okay, so how do you come up with this original graph so it satisfies all these properties? Well, you'll notice that really all I have to do in this case is tell you how many green edges are going to go across here, and how many orange edges are going to go across here, and how many red edges will go across here. Because once you've done that, all of these other conditions are going to force how you fill in the rest of the graph. Right? Because if I've got 9 green edges going across here, in the end, I should have what? Exactly 2 f of b edges of each color. Right, incident with each vertex. So if I've got 9 edges coming across here, I have no choice. This has to be incident with 10 green edges, so you put 1 across there. That's all you can do in order to satisfy these properties. And if you've got 1 across there, you have to put 9 back here and 1 over there. Okay, so the only choice I've got here, if I'm going to satisfy all these properties, is to choose how many edges I should have across here of each color. And that's it. Okay. And then I need to make sure that all of these are satisfied. Okay, so I'm going to show you how to do that briefly. Which one should we do? Okay, so what I've got here, what I'm basically doing is choosing those numbers right here. So you can think of Y1 as the number of green edges we're going from A1 to B2, and Y2 is the number of orange edges, and so on. So these Y values, all they're doing is telling you how many edges should you put across in this diagonal sense. And I said, that's it. That's all you need to do. Make sure those are satisfied, though. Okay, I wanted to make sure that when you add up all of those edges, you had exactly this number. Right? That's the one that says I want exactly 25 edges going from A1 to B2. Okay? So all of the YIs should add up to exactly that. And what's this condition? Well, I want at least one edge going from A1 to B2 of each color. And this condition says don't have too many edges going across here, because I want to make sure that there's still enough to have one edge going from A2 to B2. Okay? Why do I want to do that? That's to make sure that this color class is connected. Okay? So I have to have the color class connected. So going back to this picture here, you remember here, I'm making sure that if I had 10 edges going down there, I'd also have 10 edges going across here, nothing here and nothing here would be disconnected. Okay? So all I'm saying is don't make this too big, so there's at least one edge here, and don't make this too small, so there's at least one edge here, and therefore at least one here, so therefore it's connected. So that's it. All I'm looking for is a bunch of numbers, y1 up to ym, just the number of edges of each color going from a1 to b2, such that you have at least one, you don't have too many, and they add up to this. That's the one to make sure that what you end up with will be disconnected in the complement. Okay, well, I'm not going to go too much in detail here, but except that it works out so nicely, all I need to do is show that, well, suppose all of these yi's were 1. Okay, if they were all 1, then when you added them up, what you get would be m, because there are m colors. Okay? All right, well, let's see now. M, I'll come down a little. All I've done here is written n as, well, this is sort of divide by 4 and see what the remainder is, but the remainder might be even or odd, so there's the even bit and there's the odd bit, right? So this is 1, 2, or 3 right there, or 0. 0, 1, 2, or 3. Okay, but m is less than or equal to n over 2, right? What were the two necessary conditions? That m should be greater than n over 4 and less than or equal to n over 2. So I'm using those two conditions right here. M is less than or equal to n over 2, well, that's just 2x plus epsilon 1. There's that right there, and I've put some extra stuff in here. Why did I put that in there? Well, now I've got this number, n over 2, n over 2. That's exactly what that is, which is good, because I want the sum of the y's to be equal to that. Right? Now, this one is just a little bit of algebra going from there to there, but we'll notice that since m is greater than n over 4, let's see, if you divide by 4, you might have a bit of a remainder there, but it'll be x plus 1, right? So m's got to be at least x plus 1, so this is greater than that, and here is that number right there. So all I've said is, if all the y's were 1, you'd have a number down here. If all the y's were that, you'd have a number up like this. And the number I really want them to add up to is in between there somewhere. So I can always choose those numbers. And that's it. Okay, so that's not too bad. Okay, so you choose those numbers, and then you launch into the pulling apart process. Okay, so I'm just going to go through this briefly. We looked at this yesterday. This doesn't change very much at all. I mean, essentially, the only difference we've got to yesterday is this one. But I'd like to go through it again because I want to do a bit of a variation on this technique coming up soon. So it's a refresher for some, a first view for others. Okay, so let's see. What's the idea? I'm starting off with this graph which just has four vertices. And I'll show them to you, A1, A2, B1, and B2. These each have a pretty big F value, approximately half the number of vertices they have in the end. And now I want to try and start peeling out a vertex one by one. So I'm at the stage, I've started doing that, I'm inductively proceeding along so that all of these are satisfied at every step, and I've reached the point where I've got all these vertices, A1 to AR on the left, and on the right I've got B1, B2 down to something rather. But one of these B vertices has got an F value which is more than 1, and I'm going to try and pull that apart. And you remember what we did yesterday was all we care about is focusing on that vertex, and the first thing we do is to split it apart according to its colours. So I have the vertices here, the colours 1 down to colour n. Okay. So all the edges of a particular colour coming into this vertex I'm trying to split apart will be adjacent in this graph, but they'll be joined separate from the ones going to a different colour. So they might say the green ones right there. Okay, so now what do we know? We know that the number of edges going from AJ to this vertex I'm splitting apart, BS, is exactly the today it's at most the product of these things. Okay, because we know that the number of edges between any pair of vertices, say AJ going to BS, is at most F of AJ times F of BS. And all of those edges are here. They're all here, they're just being split up according to their colours. So the degrees of the vertices here are that. All of these have got degree exactly 2 times F of BS, because if you stick all these together, that is the vertex of BS. And according to this, that's how many edges there should be of each colour right there. Okay? So you get exactly these degrees. Okay, so then we go ahead and give this graph an equitable colouring with this many colours, and what we'll end up with is that each of these vertices over here will be exactly next to exactly 2 edges of each colour, and each of the vertices over here, F of AJ, will be next to at most F of AJ edges of each colour. Okay, so then the procedure, recall, was to take 2 colour classes, because I still have to play around with the connectivity. Okay. The connectivity then will be addressed by carefully selecting half of the edges in that graph. Okay, so we go ahead and give this a proper edge colouring, equitable edge colouring, I mean, and take the edges coloured 1 and 2, then I know that I'll have at most 2 times F of AJ, each of these has degree F of HA times F of BS. If you color with that many colors, you'll have at most that many of each color. And if you take two of those colors, you'll have exact degree of most of that. Over here, you've got degree exactly 2 times F of BS. If you edge color with F of BS colors, they've been shared out as evenly as possible, so you'll have exactly 2 edges of each color up here. Take 2 color classes, then you'll have degree exactly 4. And you remember, the only other thing I really have to worry about was disconnecting the graph. And the disconnecting the graph, fortunately, only has this problem that between any component up here in the green subgraph, so I'm just looking at the green edges right now, these are all connected together in some sort of green path zigzagging across the bipartite graph, and these are all connected together by some green graph zigzagging across the bipartite graph, so don't think of these as, you know, this bipartite graph we've got here. But anyway, the important thing is when I select this vertex to move out, I don't take something of this sort, right? Because I take these two, when I take these out, that would disconnect this green part from the rest of it. I can't afford that because in the end I want a Hamilton cycle. So, there's always an even number here. You won't ever get just one edge, for example, because everything has even degree, and that would leave you with a subgraph with the sum of degrees being odd. So, as long as I make sure that when I take one of these pairs, I select most one of the two, then you'll never disconnect the graph. And so, that's how the rest of this argument went. It said, instead of just taking the vertices if you got them, so here we've got all these different colors, split them apart. These had degree exactly 4, you see over there, and possibly 2 of them form a bad pair, a pair that would split up the graph. Make sure they're adjacent. And if they're adjacent, then when we give this a two-edge coloring, these will get different colors. And therefore, you'll select most one such edge, and the remaining graph will remain connected. Okay, so I just went through that briefly, because I'm going to say more about that as we go along. Just how can we extend that argument is partly what I'm interested in. Okay, so now... now I want to go back to, I guess we don't need this anymore. So that basically gets you the result, right? You start with that graph on 4 vertices, and then you allow the amalgamation to take over. Once it's taken over, you end up with a graph which has a Hamilton decomposition, and the complement is disconnected. And so you prove that result. Okay, so the next thing that I was interested in was to look at, going back to here, the amalgamation. So that was this kind of problem, Maxwell sets of Hamilton cycles. In the case where we were looking at complete graphs, it was also the case that the complement was disconnected. So that was the property we used there as well. Okay, so second part here. I guess we've got 3 parts of this talk. That was the first. Here comes the second. The second was what's happening with these Hamilton decompositions of complete graphs minus a 2-factor. Okay, so I'm not going to do... what's happening with, I'm not going to do this for complete graphs, I'm going to do it for complete bipartite graphs. Okay, so it's a slightly simpler setting, and it's sort of in line with what we just went through. Okay. It also is meant to be focusing on this issue of just what kind of interesting graphs might you start with. Let's stick the rest of this graph on here. Might have given away some of the surprise of it. Who knows? Okay, so anyway, here's a Hamilton decomposition of K2N2N. Well, it's not the whole thing, actually. It's just some of it. So here I've got, 10 vertices on each side. So this is K10N. And it has an obvious Hamilton decomposition, right? You just sort of go across and down one, and then you go... Well, it's going down one that way. I guess this one's going down one and down two kind of thing. If you keep sort of pairing the differences up like that, you could certainly get yourself a Hamilton decomposition. Okay, but I'm not just interested in the Hamilton decomposition of K2N2N. What I'd like to do is to have you come up to me and say, well, I would like this 2-factor to be removed, and then you come along and find a Hamilton decomposition of what's left. Okay? So in this K... I should have said this, but anyway. In this... was it 10-10? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. In this K10-10... Is it? I did. Yeah. Okay, good. I can't believe it, but it is. Okay, I'm going to take out some kind of a 2-factor. Okay, which 2-factor would you like me to take out? Okay, since you didn't speak up, I'm going to choose my own 2-factor. That was lucky, because I hadn't set this up ahead of time. You're all too quiet. You missed your chance. But anyway, these green lines are very suggestive of what I'm going to do. I'm going to take out a 2-factor which consists of a C4, a C4, a C4, and a C8. Okay, that's my plan. But you couldn't give me anyone, but it would have messed up the picture. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start with this. With yes, what?
Can we vote?
No. I tried that once before, and and actually, I meant to say this when you said that you never give people a chance to vote. You might have noticed when I did give you the chance to vote, I ignored what you said anyway. So I'm going to start with the Hamilton decomposition, and I'm going to use that as I try and construct this nice graph, which is going to allow me to sort of pull it apart using the amalgamation technique. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. This is going to turn into something that's going to look like the two-factor, and it's really close to it already, you see, because in the end what I'd really like is the red graph to look like this. I prefer to have that edge instead of this one. And over across here, I prefer to have that edge instead of this one. Okay? So this is looking very close to what I'm after. So all I'm going to do is take away the edges which I don't really want, and notice that, okay, these blue ones, you see these blue ones are going to become red over there, so it's going to give me an extra edge within those four, and in return I'm going to give this one back over there. Okay? So it looks a little funny here, you know, if I put that one, well here they are, looks as if it's going to be a little bit funny here, because I'm just, for the moment I'm just going to go ahead and, I don't know if you can see that, this vertex, this edge is going to go way down here, I'll put it on top of this here. So there we go, this is just, I've just done that switch. Okay, so there's the switch, and you'll notice now this is looking really good. Okay, it's not too far off what I'm after in the end. Something that looks like a four cycle, and a wheel. I put in this edge instead of one down there, but you know, I've still got some room to go here. And over here, let's see what happened here. I guess I've got a vertex of degree 3 here and only a vertex of degree 1 there. But on the other hand, you know, the next thing that I'm going to do is go ahead and squash all these things together. Okay. So when I squash these together, sure enough, everything still has the right degree because I traded one off here. If you pull these all together, these are still meant to be satisfying those four kinds of properties we had before. You know, these ones down here. We're still looking for getting these kinds of properties so that I can pull this apart and get what I'm thinking of as Hamilton cycles, right? So I'd like each vertex to be joined to, for example, 2 times f of the edges of each column. Okay, so that's sort of what we're getting here, isn't it? Right? When I collapse these together, I'm going to get 2 from here, 1 from there, 2 from there, and 3 from there. You're going to get 8 edges, which is just right. Same thing over here. So the fact that they didn't quite go to, you know, the corresponding vertex over there didn't matter. It doesn't matter in the least because this still looks good. Okay, this still looks good. And so now I've got what's looking like the outline of a 4-cycle, 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 and 8-cycle. And over here I've got, well, there are other color classes as well, of course. For those ones you just collapse them and that's fine. They are just what they are. Okay, so if I just pull this thing apart now, okay, I'm not going to go through the whole technique again, but having done it in the other setting, you can see what's going to happen. As I start to pull, this all sits on top of there now and you've got all these other ones, but you start to pull these things apart, right? What's going to happen, all you're going to do is, when you come to the blue edges or the green edges or whatever they are, they're just Hamilton cycles. You just treat them in exactly the same way as you did before. Okay. What about the red ones? Well, the red ones, if you get 2 of these edges, I'm just going to go ahead and say that's a bad pair. I mean, really all this is saying is, I'm not going to disconnect the graph any more than it already is. Okay. So yesterday, you know, we were saying, well, I'm always going to make sure it's always connected. But really what the technique says is that I can make sure that, you know, if you've got X components right now, then by the time I'm finished, you'll still have X components, okay? So hopefully, just going over that roughly again will convince you that that would happen here. So sure enough, when I pull this apart, you're going to have 2 vertices there and 2 vertices there, and so this has to be a C4, that's what it'll have to be. And same thing all the way down here. Okay, so is that it? Just about it. The only trouble is I messed around with this one as well, right? If I messed around with this one as well, I messed around with it in such a way that the degrees were still okay, and the number of edges between each pair of vertices were still okay, so that sort of worked its way around nicely. I didn't make sure it was still connected. Okay, it's not far off connected, but you can see what's going on here. Let's see, now you can get down to here and you get down to there and you get down to here and you get back there, so at least half of them look like they're connected. And from here you can get down there and down there. This will sort of always happen and then head back there. So there's a possibility, though, it's going to split into 2 components when I do this. Okay, as long as one of the cycles, okay, these cycles had length 4, and you'll notice there are no horizontal edges left there. This one had length 6, and so there were horizontal edges left there, so it joined the two pieces together. and that'll always happen. So the only time you really have any trouble with this graph being disconnected is if the two-factor you were going to give me has the property that all the cycles have length 4. Okay? So if all the cycles have length 4, you'd still be okay if the number of vertices here was odd, right? Because you'd work your way down, and when you came back, you'd be on the other side and you'd work your way in. So still you're okay unless the number of vertices on each side is even. N is even. Okay, if N is even, then still there's a third color class out here, the green edges, which I haven't drawn, and you can take a little switch on those, okay, and make sure that both of those, just a little switch, both of those remain connected. Okay, so now we've got a connected one that's an outline Hamilton cycle and a connected one which has an outline Hamilton cycle. And so it all looks fine. It all looks fine except what? Maybe keeping up. Okay, the only other possibility, only other problem was, there are no green edges out here, okay? Well, it's obvious there are no green edges. I said they were. Well, they usually are, but they're not always. When are they not? Exactly when you have K8-8. Okay, if you have K8-8, then there's no other thing to try and connect this up again, and so then you have possibly a problem in the case where F is 2-4 cycles. And sure enough, if F is 2-4 cycles, you don't have a chance, okay, because what's left is disconnected. Okay, so there is one exception that sort of drops out of the proof as well. The proof for, Buchanan did this for the complete graphs, and it's very similar. Okay, you can see the amalgamation thing is not going to be any different to what we discussed yesterday. So the only question is, where do you get the graph to start with? Okay, and it's a similar kind of procedure. Okay, so that's that. So now, last thing here, I'm going to do this because I can't resist it. On the other hand, this stuff is somewhat complicated, but I really like it, so I'm going to give it a go and see if I can end up with something which is complicated and not turn you off. We'll see what happens. Okay, so yesterday, you remember, we looked at K-factorizations, and I started putting on slide after slide. You might have a K-factorization which didn't have any restrictions on it, or it might be a two-edge connected one. And at one point there I said, well, connected, and I put a little question mark down the bottom. Okay. So here's an attempt at trying to address that. What happens if you're looking at K-factorizations of the complete graph, where what you'd like is that each K-factor ends up being connected? Okay. Well, one obvious property is this one. If you've got a connected K-factorization, then this property here has to be satisfied. So what is that? Okay, so I'm going to tell you what some of these terms are. So the little subscript I here is just saying, look at one color. Okay, so think of little I as being the green edges. Okay. Omega is just the number of components you've got sitting up here. These things have to be hooked together. Okay. So up here we've got C1, C2 going all the way up to C omega I, so I is just the green edges. So if this is all done from the focus of A verse XV. You have to do this from every single vertex. Okay? This is going to be true at each vertex. So pick on one vertex V. It's got its own F value, F of V. If you took it out in the green subgraph, you'd have this many components. The number of edges joining those components down to V, that's what this number is. Okay? So here you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If that was the whole lot, this number here would be 6. And this is the number of green loops on V. So in this case, it would be 2. Okay, so this is pretty easy, but I think it helps if I put this up. Maybe not, maybe you've already seen it. But the idea basically is all of this is connected, and all of this is connected, and all of this is connected. So for the moment, just think of it as just being one vertex here. Okay, so just shrink each of those down to one vertex. You've still got all these edges. Now eventually, I have to pull this one apart. I'm going to pull that apart into F of B vertices. So I'm just going to go ahead and pull them apart right now and see if I've got any chance of connecting this stuff up. Okay, well, to have any chance of connecting it up, the number of edges here plus the number of loops which turn into edges here, right, had better be enough edges to connect up the number of vertices that I've got there. So I've got this one, that's just omega I, and down here I've got F of V. Okay, so you can see why it's called the tree now, right? You've got to have enough edges so that you can put at least a tree that hooks all of those things together. So the number of vertices is just F of V plus omega I. The number of edges I've got are just the ones coming across here, which is that plus Li. So you get this down over here. So from every vertex, that needs to be satisfied. Okay, so there are certainly conditions you can put in there. So then you might say, well, let's go back to that slide I kept putting over and over again yesterday. Why couldn't we just go ahead and say, well, at least this is true, right? But maybe more is needed, right? Sure enough, more is needed. However, it's not completely hopeless. I guess last summer, with Erin Wandland and Tony Hilton, we've been looking at this on and off for about 10 years maybe. Okay, and so last summer I went over to him and said, okay, I'm going to think about this before I come, and you can think about it, and we're going to sit down and have a go at this. And it was actually really helped because I stayed with my brother, who was about an hour and a half drive away from Reading. And so you got a lot of time sitting in the car where all you can do is think about mathematics. Yeah, so that really helped. And amazingly enough,
especially if you're driving.
Yeah, right, that's right. Came on automatic pilot. Okay, so here we go. Here's the big breakthrough. Looks really silly, but things became so much clearer to me when I said, oh, this bound isn't that, it's this. Okay, I mean, doesn't look very much different, right? Just shove things around a little bit, move the f of e over here, make the minus one or whatever it is, and lo and behold, there you go. Okay, so what's so nice about that? Okay, what's this number here? Basically, remember, this number is just the number of edges coming across, and this is the number of components. So what this is saying is that you can look at all of these edges, except you have to save one of these up. One of these edges for each component out of each of those is a special edge. Okay, so I'm going to say, okay, this one maybe is a special one, and this one, and this one. I don't really have to say ahead of time which it is, but one of them's important. It's sort of the one that's hooked it up. The other ones are free to connect it up to other pieces. Okay, so it's free to this one here. When I pull something out, I can take one of these and one of those, and lo and behold, they now fuse into a single component. Okay, so that's the nice thing here, that I know that the number of these edges I've got, well, in this case just three, the number I've got in order to start hooking things together is at least f of b minus one. Okay, so let's just leave that up there for the moment and say, okay, one of these edges is sort of, I can't touch in a sense, the remaining f of b minus one I can. Okay, so let's see what happens here. Well, I'll tell you what the result is. The result is that we can get something close to what this says. It says that, okay, tree connected just means it meets that tree bound. And you've got an outline k-factorization. The outline k-factorization just means it satisfies those other four properties, the ones that tell you that you've got an amalgamation of a complete graph. And now I've got this extra property that says that all of these, except for one of them, have an f value of 1. Okay, so I wasn't sort of cheating on you yesterday when I said I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do it. What we do know how to do it is in the one case where you just have one big fat amalgamated vertex and the rest of them already have got an f value of 1. Okay? And in that case, this tree bound, that is sufficient. Okay? So in that particular case, this is sufficient. So you might want to know, why does this particular thing appear? And how can we use the results? You know, I mean, it's... all of these things are sort of nice mathematical theory, but in the end it would be nice to have some application. So, okay, so maybe I can say we don't have too much time here, so I can say something.